This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
We begin the back-to-school series. School underway around the area. Most schools starting yesterday, some the week before. Some are kind of rolling in slowly. And so we get an update from a lot of different superintendents in Douglas County about what's going on. We start out with Superintendent Jared Corden of Roseburg Public Schools. Thanks for coming in.
My pleasure.
So what was the first day of the school year like yesterday?
Oh, it was a great day. Probably worth noting, we had school a lot of the summer for a lot of the kids. So the start of school officially started for us yesterday, and it was a great day. So good to see kids and staff back. A lot of smiles, great routines. And I'll say, as I often do, I'm so impressed with this generation of kids. They're such good young men, young women. If people in the community ever wonder about our, you know, our freedoms as a country and democratic freedoms and economic prosperity, just come and see some of these kids. They are wonderful young people doing great things.
And, of course, you kind of roll it in. If I'm right, at the high school and the middle schools yesterday, it was just the new students, right?
Right. So, middle schools, we have what we call kind of a web crew. It's a crew of 7th and 8th graders. We have 6th, 7th, and 8th in our schools. Just welcomed back 6th graders. We had staff there, of course. And then it was pretty cool because our 7th and 8th grade students in the middle schools helping our 6th grade students, so new experience for them, get used to school. With the same thing at the high school, what we call Link Crew. We actually had 10th, 11th, and 12th grade students welcoming in our about 448 students to Roseburg High School. So really cool to see students supporting students, and then all students are back today. Kindergarten's a little bit softer start as we get to know those kiddos and parents, but great to have kids back today and this week.
So any new things, programs, people in the district you want to point out?
Well, we have hiring new people, and we've got some great new hires we're really excited to support. Program-wise, we're just deepening our programs. Athletics and activities are going great and strong. A lot of great partnerships with our businesses, our business community, and the college. Workforce development and making sure kids are ready for a post-high school successful run at jobs or military or career is really an importance we're deepening. So nothing of note with new programs, really. We have made some changes to a few things. We had a lot of students over the last couple of years that haven't been attending their home school because of programs, for example. They have a special program, and those are going to be housed at our at our home school. So a bit of a shift for parents, but a great shift where our parents can attend their neighborhood school regardless.
And now you mentioned the college. Where are things at with the facility that's being built out there with the sort of the cross high school college program?
Yeah, really exciting things happening on the advanced medical side of things. The community college and Roseburg schools have a really deep partnership there. We've been in partnership for many years to make sure we don't have a drain on our talent here. We have really talented kids, and the medical pathway, our connection to the college is really, really strong by design. If people haven't driven by the college, you'll notice there's a building that used to be there that's not there anymore, and the medical hub and welcome center is being built. And we're working through the college on a couple details to ensure our students can matriculate, be there in the college, and have the opportunity to be working here in our community.
So for Roseburg Schools, how many new staff did you end up hiring?
On the licensed side of things, so our licensed classroom teachers, we actually had a relatively low number, 22 licensed staff this year, and 5 of those staff are new to teaching. The rest are experienced teachers from around the area, the state, a few from out of state, and about the same, a little more on the classified side, and welcomed in a new administrator as well.
And how many retirements prior to the school year?
Oh, that's a good question. I think, we have had people that have been working for us, doing an incredible job for a long time. We had a staff member last year who spent 45 years working and serving kids in the school district. I don't know the exact number, but we probably had right around 30 to 40 retirements last year.
And is that pretty typical?
It's cyclical a little bit. Most of our openings come through retirements or leaves, people having, you know, children and raising families. But we're about 780 employees or so, and so it's a pretty typical number for us.
Now, your staff person that retired after 45 years, what did they do?
Yeah, it's incredible. They've been serving a variety of capacities. Every year we recognize people on the 5, 10, 15, all the way up, and we actually had a staff member 45 years. So, we've got staff that have been with us for a long time. We are super grateful for their commitment. The staff member at 45 years served students in a variety of buildings and a variety of roles for 4.5 decades here.
Wow. So overall, when you look at the financial part of making all this work, how's the district doing?
You say the financial, is that right?
Right.
Yeah. So, good. Every year we adopt a balanced budget, and Oregon's interesting because Oregon doesn't really have a floor for funding. And so, you know, every 2 years, many state agencies, schools are included in that. We're kind of working through the legislative process to see what things look like. I mean, we're in a relatively, it's kind of a tale of two cities in our school district. We have good financial reserves right now, which is great. We're always out seeking additional funding through grants, and that's actually been something we've done a pretty good job with. At the same time, I mean, we do have good reserves right now, but we've got to counterbalance that with needs in the district in terms of capital needs and also just the age of our buildings is probably one of my biggest concerns. We don't want to be laying off staff if we have to put, say, roofs on a building. We've had some districts south of us that have had some, you know, kind of catastrophic things that have happened with some of their buildings, and we just want to make sure we're in a position to have an operational fund to continue in case there's something big we need to think about.
And isn't it set up in terms of how the different pools of funding that, doing infrastructure or remodeling a school or all of that has got to come from a different, essentially through a bond or through a different set of obtaining money versus just what you get from the legislature?
Yeah, the money we receive is to really run the school that year. And so we do try to, we try to be good stewards of that, of those funds to save money for projects. And I think we've put about $25 million in the last 5 years into buildings. But our buildings are, they are older. And so it's the same thing like when you own a house. You're always worrying about how's the roof doing? How's the, how are the electrical systems? And this is interesting. This time of the year, we tend to get, when it's warm, we've got about, a majority of our classrooms don't have, conditioning or air quality issues with filtration. And so we've had great parents, for example, reach out and say, hey, can I donate, for example, we've got amazing parents, can I donate an air conditioner for this classroom? Oftentimes the answer is, thank you so much. We can't because there's not our electrical systems can't handle that, for example. So it's just navigating some of those. The money that we receive, we try to be good stewards to make sure we can set aside money to keep buildings going. But I'm always thinking, we're trying to think ahead in terms of what we need to do in terms of large projects as a community, as a school district.
And so many of the buildings, especially the elementaries, were all built around, give or take, a few years of 1960.
Yeah, and some much older than that, in fact. Our staff does a great job taking care of our facilities. It's probably, I mentioned to the board the other day, in terms of like a return on investment, I like to think about an academic return on investment or just an ROI in general. Some of the worst money I think we probably spend is around just patching things that don't work anymore. We spend about $2 million a year in just keeping buildings up and going. It's money we need to spend. A lot of our buildings were built on timber revenue back in the day, and things change in legislation and they change in the economy. So as we continue to think forward in terms of how we navigate that, and that requires requires having a decent financial reserve.
All right, more when we come back. Superintendent Jared Corden of Roseburg Public Schools. The interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com. 1245 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, underway with Back to School series. We'll talk about the Sutherland School District Superintendent Terry Prestiani on tomorrow's program. It's Jared Corden of Roseburg Public Schools today. We've been talking about a lot of things regarding the district. We were just talking about buildings going into the break. Do you have any infrastructure projects happening this year?
The only one we have going on this year, which we're excited about, is our VOTEC building. That's our vocational ed building at the high school. It's what you can see as you go north on exit 124 off to the right there. The east side of that, we were able to get a $2.5 million seismic grant for the east side of the VOTEC, and that is currently being worked on right now. We will apply for another $2.5 million a median occupancy seismic grant for the west side of the VOTEC soon, and we're hoping we can be doing that another year and a half from now.
And also at the high school, somebody will ask, if I don't, what about that old main building?
Yeah, the old main. The old main is still there and has some, I'm not sure. I was just at the high school yesterday. I didn't see if there's caution tape around it or not. The old main, beautiful old building, started in 1924, finished in 1926. It will turn 100 years old next year. And it is effectively, the building is not in use, is effectively condemned. There are concerns about its safety. We do still have our weightlifting class in that building. It's the only use we have of that building. I've mentioned before, so interesting how these buildings do better when we have kids in them. It's just kind of an old building. We do have some neat work happening. We've had a number of people interested in, you know, what could this building become? And there's some work happening with local business leaders and other people to kind of reimagine, you know, the next 100 years in our community, what this building could look like. And so we're partnering with a couple people on thinking about the function of that building going forward. You know, we've got a lot of buildings. You mentioned 1960s or 40s. We've got buildings built before World War I, actually. You know, we've got to think about the 21st century skills and aptitudes kids need. And buildings, the function of a building matters, what you're trying to accomplish there. So we've got some work happening soon with the old main at the high school. It's a neat old building to figure out, you know, what we can do as we think forward in the community about the next 100 years.
After the COVID pandemic, districts added more mental health staff. Has that stayed in place, or have you had to increase it even more?
Well, so our approach with that is, you know, we kind of knew that the COVID or ESSER money was temporary as a grant. And so we tried to be real thoughtful about thinking about that as a grant. So grants, you know, you have a certain time, you have a grant, the grant runs out, you've got to figure out how to be thinking well ahead about how to backfill that. So we entered into some partnerships with ADAPT, for example. It's been great to for them to help provide some mental health services for us. And so we still have those services for students who need a little bit extra support and families who need some extra support. And they do everything from kind of some wraparound help with families to providing, you know, behavioral health support, mental health support. It's always on our mind. We do have some people in that space to make sure that when kids are with us, that they can focus on education. A lot of the funds we had for COVID, we kind of repurposed to some other things as well, including some infrastructure projects. But we're certainly, I mean, our goal is making sure kids are getting the care and support they need to learn, and that is an aspect we are continually focusing on.
Well, it looks like you've got a kind of a new theme, or I don't know how you want to sort of set it up here. Inspire growth, build community, and expand opportunities.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. We did quite a bit of work in the community over the last couple of years asking our patrons what they want and expect from our schools. I'm also amazed at how sometimes maybe we just need to communicate better as a school district. There's sometimes confusion about what we currently do or we used to do. I've had people ask about, remember when you guys used to do welding and FFA and FBLA and auto? It's like, well, we still do those things, and I think we do them better than we've ever done them before. One of the themes that we tried to capture is making sure that the community knows what we do. And we needed to put this in really clear terms. And so inspiring growth and building our community and expanding opportunities are really the things that we're focused on. And we're trying to make that more more visible in the community. I don't think anybody is opposed to inspiring growth and building our community and expanding opportunities for kids. And those are the things we're focused on. I'll thank our board, too. Our board's been really focused on those things, and as has our staff. And so we want to make those more visible this year.
Well, something that gets a lot of discussion for a number of years, and now state executive order going into effect at the beginning of January regarding cell phones in schools. How do you deal with that?
Right. So, I mean, I don't know how much time we have on this, but I think there was a belief. Well, this was actually in the legislature, and that bill kind of died, and the governor felt like doing an executive order was important around people's mental health, students' mental health. I don't think anybody would disagree that we're all trying to navigate the role of technology in our lives. Our approach as a school district, we actually have a policy around electronic devices. And so what the board's work right now is to take a look at our current policy, and there's some timelines the governor's executive order called out end of October to have a draft policy implementation by January 1. I think our approach, and I sent a message to our families the other day about this, our approach is that cell phones are really more of a home issue than they are a school issue, quite frankly. And I'll speak personally here. It's really not the school's responsibility to primarily limit cell phone use. I think our approach as a school district has been a pretty good one. It's really working with families. It's teaching kids how to use this appropriately. We're not going to start with a ban. We're not going to start with students putting them in a box, if you will, or a pouch. We're going to start with helping kids understand how to use them, and we'll work toward a policy that fits our community's needs and our students' needs. We should just be aware, all of us are, I think myself as a dad and as an individual, is all of us trying to navigate, the use of AI and technology. But we also have to be just bluntly honest with each other that a cell phone policy in a school will not mitigate and cure mental health issues. The majority of students, where they're having significant issues on their phones, it's from about 11 o'clock at night to 3 o'clock in the morning. If you got kids going to sleep with their phone, that's the things we need to be thinking about to make sure they're up and ready. And we should be aware, when you're giving young students phones that have unfettered access, that's really a family type issue. And so we're working on a policy that respects our families and also can adhere with our own policy.
What about long-range plans for the district, infrastructure, or other changes?
Yeah, we adopted actually a long-range facilities plan last year as we take a look at what we're going to do in terms of building. Again, I mentioned before, our buildings average about 80 years old, and we passed one bond in 40 years. So we're having to think about, when do we, how do we start working with our community about what they expect in our schools, and also thinking about that inextricable link to a healthy community and services and schools. So we do have a long-range facilities plan. It's on our website. Would encourage people to look at that. We do, we do audit everything from our buildings to our roofs and infrastructure to figure out how we think ahead on that. I think the community, we've asked the community a few times to consider making an investment in our schools. I think three times since I've been here in 2019. And, we're starting to have those conversations again about, what is it the community wants us to do? And we'll continue to listen to that and, work on a plan moving forward that has a long-term trajectory for success for our community.
What do you feel like the biggest challenges, maybe outside of infrastructure, are facing the district?
Well, I mean, that's a good question. I mean, I think one that's really compelling to me and interesting is just, you know, what does AI look like in schools? That's an interesting one a lot of people are wrestling with. Federal funding's a question. There are certainly questions out there. Oregon's been wrestling with the new economic revenue forecast that came out a few weeks ago or last week. I really think short of infrastructure, if you've got the right people working with kids with the right focus, amazing things will happen. I think our focus on making sure kids are successful after school and working here in our community, those partnerships have really been huge and probably can help us mitigate some of the concerns other districts are having.
What are some of the things the board is focused on this year?
I mean, we're really focused on student learning as our number one thing, you know, making sure every day as we capture that moment with students and thinking about post-high school success. We need to make sure kids have the skills to be successful, right, going forward, but making sure kids have a pathway. And then I think the infrastructure one, as we've talked quite a bit about, the board's interested in what our long-term plans are. One of their governance roles is both to set a direction of where we're going as a school district and to think about things like infrastructure needs as well. So those two things have been a topic of the board.
And just underway, day number two, and I guess you're underway and rolling for the year.
Yeah, we're excited. Just want to thank our community for their ongoing support. Again, so happy to be here in this role and grateful to live and work in a community that supports its kids.
Superintendent Jared Corden of Roseburg Public Schools, thanks for coming in.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.